Welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for March 12th, brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and with me as usual is my buddy Jim Allen. How's it going, man?
It is going well, John. We survived another day at the office today, and are ready to talk some baseball.
Yeah, they tried to get us, but...
I think they got us, man. I think we're just the ghosts, the shadows of the remnants of what walked in there that morning.
Yeah, we were able to crawl to safety, so we're all right. As long as we're moving.
Okay.
Good. All right, well, this week we've got an interview with a former Chiba Marines front office guy, Larry Rocha, mm-hmm. and we're going to break down the Central League, and that's about all we have time for, so let's get started by clearing the bases. All right, well, first off, let me say that we're recording the show on March 11th, and this is the day last year that the big earthquake hit Japan, and man, it's been a year since that big earthquake, and there's still a lot of issues that we're dealing with.
Yeah, it's things seem normal, but, you know, we were relatively unaffected in Tokyo. You know, some of the cost of electricity has gone up, and some of the vegetables, the prices of some vegetables have gone up, but...
Well, lifestyles have changed a little bit, and hopefully for the better, in terms of saving electricity and doing things, you know, in an eco-friendly way. So hopefully we can continue.
There's certainly more consciousness about what we need from the environment, what we're doing to the environment. A little too late for some people, but anyway, moving along. Yeah,
yeah.
We did. It's amazing how people can cope and sad how so many can't. So, but we're a year in the past, and hopefully, you and I are among the lucky ones to be able to say that.
Very lucky, very lucky. And there were, you know, there was a moment of silence. There were memorials. There've been TV shows on, starting probably Thursday of last week. I think I recorded one. So, we're all remembering what was going on, and we wish everyone the best. And thanks for listening to the show. All right, so I talked to Larry Rocha, who spent about 5 years in Japan as the Director of Promotions Planning and Public Relations for the Lotte Marines from 2005 to 2009. He's a former Major League Baseball executive. Minor League Baseball executive. He was a baseball writer, including at a paper I used to work at called the Orange County Register in Santa Ana, California.
Goodness, man.
Yeah, he covered Big League Baseball for 11 years, including 8 years as a beat writer. He covered the Los Angeles Angels. He covered the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, and he spent 3 years as a columnist. He's got a great resume.
Yeah. And he's a great guy. He's a lot of fun to talk to, and he's always quick with a joke and quick with kind words for everybody. So.
Quick period. He was always on the move. Always busy. High jump, high jump. It was.
Well, you did manage to.
That's his life. Yeah.
Well, the poison darts worked, so you could get him to sit still for a few minutes. Sorry about that. Sorry if that's smarted, Larry. But you know, we got work to do, dude.
Well, it was good to catch up with him, and he really gave some insight that could make this an entire show interesting, actually. But we're going to break it down into two parts. We're going to play part one on this show, and then part two next time at the end of the month. And what else can I say? I mean, it's just before opening day. He's a Pacific League guy. We're going to be talking about the Central League today, but we'll also be talking to him next week, so we'll mix that in with the Central League preview that we're going to do. So... This was the first time I had his undivided attention for a conversation in a long time, but he was really, really frank with us, and I really appreciate that. Plus, he set aside some time on a Sunday night to sit down and talk, so let's take a listen to part one. Okay, I'm here with Larry Rocha. He is the former Director of Promotions, Planning, and Public Relations for the Chiba Lotte Marines. How you doing, Larry? Thanks for joining us on the program.
I'm good, John. Thanks for having me. It's great to be talking to you again and be talking about the Chiba Lotte Marines and Japanese baseball.
Yeah. Well, speaking of talking about Japanese baseball, what is it that you discovered in your job with the Marines that taught you the essence of business of Japanese baseball?
Well, I was very surprised to learn how independently all the teams are run, that each team owns its own rights for not just merchandise and tickets, but also broadcasting, internet, everything. And that in a country where, you know, working for the good of the group and the good of the whole is stressed so much, it seemed unusual that in a sports league, basically every team was on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised that the Omiri Giants were just more interested in market share than in having a strong league. You know, the NFL is sort of the epitome of a league that has revenue sharing and believes the high tide lifts all boats and
right,
you know, chain's only as strong as its weakest link. I was really surprised that NPB has so little cooperation, that basically the only way, you know, one of the very few ways that they were cooperating was just as far as the schedule, and that was about it. So
did you find yourself banging your head against the wall in that situation?
Well, I mean, not really, because I had been a baseball writer, and I wasn't, you know, I was reporting to Bobby Valentine, who's the field manager and de facto GM. So I was helping him with business initiatives, and I was a representative for him in the front office as far as the business operations, corporate sales, marketing, promotions.
Right.
And reported directly to the director of business operations, a guy named Shigeo Araki. Araki-san is an incredibly smart, incredibly accomplished, excellent businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was the one who was really trying to sort through all the issues and untangle things and figure out ways that the teams could work together. So I was an observer, you know, not just a fly on the wall, but more of an advisor to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he would ask me about how things worked in the U.S. leagues and best practices around the world. And we were, you know, equally trying to figure out a way to get Japanese league teams to work together. But, of
right.
course, he, as a Japanese businessman, I mean, he understood business culture, and he understood the culture, and then, of course, the business culture in a way that I would never understand. So I wasn't as frustrated as much as I would be very surprised and, you know, kind of sometimes actually mystified as to why there was so little cooperation on some levels.
Right. I guess just because you understand the culture and the business world here in Japan doesn't mean you can, you know, you don't bang your head against the wall in frustration, and you don't have the same difficulties as someone like an outsider like yourself would have in those situations, because it's so difficult to get a grasp on why things run the way they do.
Yeah, no, I mean, Japan is obviously, I mean, you know better than me, having been there more than 20 years, but it's obviously a very different culture than the United States, and it's a great country, and there's so many obviously wonderful things about it, but it's definitely a very different culture, and it's not something that's easy to grasp and understand on all the different levels for an American. So I was there 5 years. By the end of my 5 years, I feel like I had a pretty good understanding of how things worked, and maybe I wouldn't always be able to articulate it to somebody, but I definitely started to figure out what you could get accomplished, what you could not get accomplished, and obviously there are advantages to being a foreigner.
Right.
And you're not held to the same standard as far as reporting structure or observance of hierarchy. You're allowed to move outside the lines and approach people directly, or, you know, try to tackle things in a different way.
Exactly.
You had built-in excuse as a foreigner that you didn't have to, because you're younger than someone, you didn't have to be quiet. You could actually go and talk to them and things like that. So, but it was definitely an unbelievable experience being there for 5 years, and I think the team accomplished a lot with Bobby Valentine and Araki-san with their dual leadership. They worked well together. The Chibolete Marines definitely were making a lot of progress, turning things around, and championship was one example in 05, and the huge attendance increase.
Mm-hmm.
And the huge increase in revenue, and the team is becoming recognized as a leader in best practices around the league as far as fan entertainment and stadium innovations and promotions. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, you guys had an entire team of foreign personnel working. You know, it wasn't just Bobby there. He was the field manager, of course, but it wasn't just him. There was Paul, there was Frank, there were you and some other people. Tell me, what were some of the challenges you guys dealt with in Chiba that you can talk to us about on the show today?
Well, you know, Bobby was the manager, and then he had Frank Rampin as a coach. He had Paul Pupo doing statistical analysis and analyzing data and then matching it with video.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in baseball operations, and then I was in business operations. So we didn't really have that many more foreigners than other teams. the guy, Terry Trey Hillman had a foreign coach with him, and
right.
so did Terry Collins, and so did Marty Brown. The difference was that we had the one American guy doing statistical analysis, and then we had the one American guy in the front office. I think as far as I know, Marty Keener and I were the only two Americans in the front office of any team in Japan, at least during my time there. So for me, the challenge for me was mainly the language barrier, and there was obviously a different culture. But my coworkers in the business operations side, very nice. Araki-san's English is excellent. It's fluent. He had worked for IBM and Deutsche Telekom. So he understood my way of thinking, understood the way Americans approached problem solving. He did a great job of integrating me with the team and leveraging my knowledge and experience and my relationships to the advantage of the team, making me feel like a valued, important contributor to the front office team. So that was great. He and some of the guys that he brought in were really excellent. With Bobby, he had a mandate from the owner to shake up a perennial loser. They had 19 losing seasons in the 20 years prior to Bobby coming back in 2004. And the only non-losing season they had in that time was the year he managed them in 1995. So Shigemitsu, the owner, gave Bobby a pretty clear mandate. You know, we're a loser organization. Please shake it up. Please make us better. And he did. In 2004, they almost made the playoffs. In 2005, won a championship for the first time in 31 years. Then everyone was buying into it. Bobby Magic. And
I remember it well.
Yeah, the tennis was booming. The fans were getting excited. The players were into it. And then I think, personally, I think the World Baseball Classic in 2006 created a lot of problems. We had 9 of the players on our team played in the World Baseball Classic. So,
I remember that. Yeah, they were gone. Camp. Yeah.
3 games destroyed. And then one of them was Val Pescucci. He played for
Italy. Yes.
And Isung Ya played for South Korea. And we had, we had 10 guys missing. We had 8 players on Team Japan. And
I do recall that there were very few names of recognition. I know that.
And so when Japan won the World Baseball Classic with Sadaharu Oh and our 8 guys on that team, I think those guys, like after we won the championship in 2005, I think our players thought, wow, Bobby showed us a new way to do things, and this is the right way to approach it, the modern, different way, and not just the same old Japanese baseball style. We don't have to be in last place. He's the one who gave us confidence. He taught us how to do this. We're going to do things this way. It's going to work. Then when they went to the World Baseball Classic and won that championship under Sadaharu Oh, I think the players, I personally, I have no proof of this, but I think the players sat there and thought, well, maybe we're the reason that we won the championship last year, and it really didn't have to do with Bobby. It's because we're great, and now we won the World Championship, not just the Japan Championship, doing it our way, the old Yaku way with Sadaharu Oh, and that they came back and some of the coaches wanted to prove, like, it's not this American guy who brought us to a championship. It's because of us. We know what we're doing. And they reverted. There was a lot of backsliding in 06, and they reverted to some of the backwards practice methods and approaches. And then we had a bad season. And I think that created some problems. Bobby got everyone straightened out again in 07, but by that point, Shigemitsu had put this one crazy lady in the front office, Yoko Yoneda, and Setayama is a very insecure, bitter guy who was the general manager, and there were some divisions had been created. After the way 06 ended, there were some problems that took root, and they weren't on the roster. Bobby had the roster, but the front office and the link between Bobby and ownership started to crack because of some people that took advantage of a down season. And they just never gave up. And then finally, by the end of 09, they had, before the start of 09, they had succeeded in convincing the owner to dismiss Bobby. And, yes, look, they won the championship in 2010, but they won with a team that Bobby had put together, basically.
Exactly.
And then she saw it happen in 2011, and then they all three of them have now been fired, Setsuyama, Ishikawa, and Yoneda.
Yeah,
and
the whole thing's blown up.
Yeah, it's in shambles, and it's a shame. They're back to, like, where they were in 2003 before Bobby came back to rescue them.
Yeah, it's quite possible. We'll have to see how their season goes this year. I'm not expecting much. Well, thank you again, Larry, for taking the time out to sit with us and join us. Great insight. I mean, geez. Now we could talk about the points that he touched on forever. I mean, we could make a whole show out of this, but I'll let you start. I mean, we have such little time. He hit on some really, really some topics that we've been thinking about for a long time.
Right. So, of course, we had a kind of an interesting relationship with the Marines because they were the team. Not only were they one of the teams with a long-term foreign manager, but they were the team with a long-term foreign manager that was accessible in Tokyo.
Right.
So that made it a little special that we could go and, you know, go and talk to Larry and Bobby and Paul and, God, I'm going to shoot myself. Frank?
I'm there to save you. Don't shoot.
Don't shoot. I won't. But, yeah, these guys were really big helps for us, you know, in our work and just helping us understand their perspective. And, you know, we tried to give feedback for the things that we saw in the league and, you know, and they talked to all the foreign players. But it was interesting to hear how being a foreigner in Japan in the baseball world is, you know, is similar to being a foreigner in Japan in other industries. Because we can in fact, a lot of people listen here can sympathize with that. So yeah, I think what struck you as the most interesting thing here, or the thing that you have the most comments and the most you want to talk about?
Well, the thing that I wanted to talk about was, you know, the entertainment and promotional schemes that we saw the, you know, happening in Chiba, you know, especially when they won that championship in 2005,
right,
were considered innovative. But you look at what the United States does with the minor league teams and how they do all these promotions. And
right.
We've been doing that for decades.
Yeah, well, Bill Veeck was running the car. When he was running the St. Louis Browns, he was running the Phillies in the 40s, I think. Or, wait, he wanted to – that was the story, not the Phillies. He was running the St. Louis Browns and later the Indians, White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And his grandson, Mike, is the president of the St. Paul Saints,
mm-hmm,
in one of the independent league teams, and he was the master showman. So yeah, this is something that's been a part of baseball at some level. But the idea that, and you know, teams sell their product here, but it's always a tough Japanese baseball is kind of a tough sell because it's kind of a closed society. The players are players who've gone through this sort of initiation, this 10-year initiation as amateurs. You know, it's like a fraternity,
mm-hmm,
and it's like a secret society, and it doesn't really mix well with the public.
Hmm.
They're special. They're sort of like they're unique, and they're being unique as opposed to being part of the public. Being part of that group is their appeal, but it's also so cliquish and so inside looking, it's really hard for these players to sell, to be marketable, and to be themselves. It's almost like you know, they're afraid to give. There are so many inside secrets in Japanese baseball. You know, like the idea that you're not allowed to talk about fight money, and we've talked about it. And it's, you know, it's a big team's a lot, a big pile of cash. To depending on the team. The team decides how big the team is, determines how big the pile of cash is for each game to be divided out among the heroes of the game.
Oh, okay. That kind of fight money.
No, this is kind of an inside secret in Japanese baseball. It's like everybody who's been through Japanese baseball knows this, but the very few people in the public know this.
Right. Well, I mean, for me, yeah, that was, I mean, certainly, yeah, I understand the cliquish side of it, and, you know, cronies beget more cronies, and
yeah,
and it's hard to puncture that shield and get in and be part of it. I understand that part oh so well. But the thing that I was pointing to was the fact that, you know, like, for decades, like, as I said, minor league teams, especially because they have to do things to promote the team and to push the team to get people to come out and watch their games, they have to have promotions. And what do we get in Japan? I mean, the biggest one that I know of is the Big Mac promotion that the Giants had last year, which was when they hit more than one home run, or when both teams at the game
hit a home run.
You get a Mac. You get a
Big Mac or something.
Or you get a prize, and you don't even get a free one. You get, you know, it was 200 yen or something. I'm not sure what the price was. I shouldn't have thrown the figure out. But, I mean, is that all we can come up with? I mean, is that all they can come up with?
They do have promotions, but you just and they're getting better at it. The Giants are one of the good examples. You know, they've got the GPO system, which is really good. If you go to the game and different things happen, you get points on a card, and you get prizes and presents and free tickets and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, they have cool things going on, but it's so haphazard and, you know, it's random.
Yeah.
The Japanese baseball really doesn't have much of a clue. They depend on people to be sort of like all, when I say it's haphazard, there's no system for this, for the fan service and the promotions and the marketing.
Oh, definitely.
If it happens, it's because of the chemistry between people in the front office working together without a system or building a system on their own. And every front office is different. So teams where this breaks down, which it's normally broken, you know, the Dragons essentially fired manager Hiromi Tsuichi because he wasn't interested in doing fan service and promotions.
Yeah, he was interested in winning baseball games, which is
right.
Which is the main job.
What he's supposed to do.
It's the main job. I mean, I think the promotion part is a section of it, but not as much emphasis as they probably wanted to put on it. And he's not a fan friendly person. Why do
they make it They need that cooperation because they have no system in place. Otherwise, if the manager doesn't talk, they have no system to replace him. They don't have. Oh, geez, these are other promotions. This is what, you know. They have them, but it's not. It's not first rate. It's an amateur hour. So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. Now, it is very interesting to talk about how, you know, get an insight, his view, his unique perspective on the front office dramas and traumas of the Chivalote Marines.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, that was one important thing I wanted to pick up on. He says, you know, he wasn't a fly on the wall.
Right.
But he talked about that non-acceptance factor, essentially,
right.
No matter how much you know and no matter how much you try to assimilate and how good a business person you are, you're not held to the same standards. You don't get the same treatment, which can be good sometimes and bad other times.
Sure, sure, sure.
And he talked about the crazy lady in the...
Yeah.
I mean, that's the word he preferred to use, but I'm glad he did. The crazy lady in the front office. All those front office people, you know, eventually they got bounced, all of them.
They did, and there's a lot of stories about them, and I think essentially the main story is the one that Bobby mentioned to me in the middle of 2010,
mm-hmm.
which was it was all about scams.
Mm-hmm.
These guys were basically there to line their pockets,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't do that while he was taking the money that the team had agreed to pay him. You know, Bobby would have, and I can tell you he would have worked for nothing,
mm-hmm.
stayed to some degree.
Yeah.
And so it was for him never all about money. He made a ton of money. He made a ton of money with the Marines. He loved that situation. Was it time for him to go? Yeah, perhaps. But, you know, they said he was the reason the team was going nowhere. The amount of money they gave him was not a positive thing.
Yeah.
Because it was so much.
Okay.
It was a ton of money.
Okay.
And that was the team's deal, not mm-hmm. his. You know, he didn't hold a gun to their head. But he got the contract after the 2000, after winning the Japan Series in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make a long story short, he gave a lot to the team, but, you know, there were always other issues going on. He cut out a lot of graft, and he therefore alienated a lot of people who were looking forward to that graft. And the money that he was saving, he redirected to the people who were on the field and behind the scenes who are actually putting wins on the board, in his opinion, which were people supporting the team.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that was really interesting. And Larry's perspective was unique in that he was a front office guy, but he was also a little bit to the side. He wasn't managing, which brings us to the next question is the WBC. Did it cost... did it ruin the Marines in 2006?
Well, I mean, the point that Larry was making was that the guys were not in camp.
And then that's
going to be one issue. That just gives you, you know, an opportunity to see what the younger guys can do or the new players or the guys you brought in can
well,
do.
Well, Bobby was really upset about it because Bobby's thing, as the Red Sox are learning, is that the team is something – is greater than the sum of its parts, and it has to be. No matter how good the players are, the team has to be bigger than everybody. And this is not the norm for Boston. You know, it became the norm when they were all the idiots and Johnny Damon was there and them. It became that way through chemistry, but it's not the norm in Boston. It's not the norm in the New York Yankees. It's not the norm in Los Angeles Dodgers. It's not the norm in a few big market, big money teams. So... but Bobby's is that. Bobby is, we have to look at the lowest common denominator because he's the guy who's going to win a game for us this year.
Right.
So anyway, so that I think did not go over well either because after 2005, the Marines were stars. Nishioka was a star.
They were rock stars, man.
Yeah, especially Nishioka.
Yeah.
Great talent and, you know, had the world by a string. And these guys are good looking and they're young and they're champions and they play for the coolest, and the Marines were the coolest team in Japan.
By far.
And I think that was what happened was that more than going back to Japanese thing, which is I think there was always that conflict.
I think that was part of it, yeah.
I don't know if it was the Japanese way of playing baseball, although there is that too, but I think it was the Japanese way of... the understanding of a Japanese manager, you know, you can, it's sort of like having a substitute teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Marines were, they'd come to, you know, they were coming to school today, and if not having Bobby, and this is the thing with having a manager there for a long time, is that you don't get a break. So anyway, so I think it was some of that. I think it was not so much as the WBC, because, but I think it was, they knew it all, and they were out of camp, which is, I think, valid. Some of the guys were not well. Kobayashi was hurt. It was kind of a weird stuff. And but there were frictions within the team, and I don't know how much it was related to the WBC. There were just, you know, like there are always frictions in every team.
Yeah.
There's always factions and splits. So that's my take.
It happens. All right. Well, you know, there's much more to talk about. But why don't you guys send us your comments on what Larry said?
Sure. Yeah, we would love to hear about it.
We could talk about it all night.
and as we have in the past, so we will spare you some of our diatribes tonight.
Yeah, we have more things to say in part two. We'll play that next week. It's to be continued. And wait till you hear what he says about the Giants. Oh, man, good stuff. All right, let's break down the Central League, man.
Woo! All right.
Close. This really means it's getting close.
Yeah. Well, the Central League, yeah, well, it occurred to me this morning, and I don't know why it took this long to occur to me.
Because you're busy.
No, I just think that there's too much space between, you know, from my ears to
left
to
ear
my
to
brain
right
or something. Okay, left ear in, you know. Anyway, that the Central League this year really, really seems like last year's, well, in a sense, it's much like last year's Pacific League. We got one favorite and a bunch of teams that may or may not be good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you can say, you can laugh at somebody could and will laugh about the Bay Stars because they're so used to doing it, but the amount of the Swallows lost a key player. The Dragons lost their band leader.
Yeah.
The Carp have some young talent. The Tigers have some young talent, but they're also old. And the Bay Stars, you know, who knows? That's not a reason. But they could luck into more wins than we think they could. They could be better than we think they are, just being under new ownership. Any of these teams could finish second.
Well, I have no idea what I predicted last year. I've forgotten. So long ago.
I'm not going to remind you because I forgot who I predicted.
Yeah,
so.
Good. It's excellent.
So any of you listeners remember what we predicted last year, feel free not to mention it.
Now, we're going to look at the teams in alphabetical order, which oddly will probably have nothing to do with how they look like when they finish at the end of the season.
Okay.
So, team number one.
We have the Yokohama DeNA BayStars.
All right.
And they have they've lost they lost all their power.
Okay. Who are the big additions first?
The big additions first, Alex Ramirez.
Okay.
And let's
That's
see.
It.
Koike came over.
Yes, Masaaki Koike. Yes, from the Dragons back home to his roots.
Back home to the BayStars. Okay, well, let's put it this way. They've got Alex Ramirez. They've got Koike is not a big addition. They'll probably remember, hey, you did used to be on the shelf here, and wait, we still got your pigeonhole for you.
Wow. He's a big addition because he takes...
Giancarlo Alvarado is a guy who can throw some innings. And this is something that the BayStars really haven't had. He comes over from the Carp. And another guy, if he's healthy, I really like, is Brandon Mann.
Okay.
Brandon Mann was extraordinarily good. I would say he was extraordinarily good last year on the minors. He was extraordinarily good on the first team. He just wasn't able to pitch most of the year. He comes back, he can be really good.
I got one more guy, if you don't have any more.
Okay, go ahead.
Kazunari Tsuruoka, the catcher, he's back.
Yeah.
So they've got two guys who played part-time for them who they've taken off of teams that finished, well, everybody finished higher than they did, so that's no big deal. But they've weakened the opposition by taking back some of their
rejects
from the past. So anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So
who are some of the players that they lost?
Well, they lost all their power hitters. They lost Terrell Sledge. They lost Brett Harper. They lost Shuichi Murata. They just cleaned house. We don't, it was a case of we could finish last without you. Essentially, what do the BayStars have to do to win? Well, they've made young Mr. Ishikawa.
The shortstop.
Made him the captain.
Yes, I saw that.
I think he's good enough. But, you know, if it motivates him to be better and to be a leader, yeah, that could be a good thing. I don't see it as any kind of move or positive move or anything. But they need the young guys. Fujita, the second baseman I like, they need the young. This is going to go for the same for the BayStars as for the Carp, as for the Swallows. They need the young guys who are not really on the radar right now to take a big step up.
Okay.
And I don't really see that happening with the BayStars. I don't see that they have the talent ready to jump in and make an impact.
All right. My turn. So from what I see and hear, Makahata, the new manager, is running around and entertaining and taking control of the fun side. But Yutaka Takagi is running the drills and handling the business on the field. And I get the idea he's more the manager than Makahata, who's just like a showpiece. But the thing that I thought about the BayStars is they're like this car that's kind of been on the side of the road, and some people are trying to push it to a gas station or something. It's out of gas for 4 years in a row, and there's like been two people pushing, but there's been more people in the car. They are outside the car pushing. They're not helping.
Yeah,
they're just a lot
like
of dead weight.
I like that analogy.
And so now, with new ownership, They're all out pushing in the same way. Now the car might not go that much farther.
Might not have the wheels might not be turning, dude.
But it's going to go faster, okay? And so look, they got Ramirez. You know, they only won 47 games last year. This team has won 60 plus games four times since the year 2000.
Right.
And it finished in third place three times in those instances. So. Do I see improvements that make like a 30-game difference? Because I think, you know, for them to get out of last place, they're going to have to win around, 50, 58, 59, 60 games.
Right.
Do I think that they can, that they have 23 games better? Yeah, they could. We don't know. This team has averaged 53 wins five seasons, 53 wins. So I think if they get over that number that they've made improvements and that's good enough for them. You know what I mean?
My feeling about the last thing I have to say about the Bay Stars is their record is usually worse than the team.
That's
because
true.
Because they're so far out of the pennant race, and they really have nothing to play for after July. Into July, they're sort of like, well, we're still not so far that we couldn't, like, make a run to maybe smell the last playoff spot.
Yep.
But they play, I did a study last year, and I found out that there were three trends, long, impressive trends in Japanese baseball. Teams underplay there. They have bad stretch. They have remarkably bad stretch, consistently and remarkably bad stretches during the season. One was the Tigers during August,
mm-hmm.
Which is not statistically significant for those of you listening at home.
Okay.
Another was the Dragons, and I don't remember what the Dragons' streak was, but the third one and the most obvious one is the Bay Stars in the last 2 months of the season. They play far worse than they should.
Yeah. Well,
and that could, if they do that, if they play as well as they should, they could be just two or three games better on that account. So they could finish fifth. They're a team that could easily finish fifth.
Well, I think they might have the breakout guy. I'm looking for this guy. He's my breakout player of the Central League. Yuki Kuniyoshi. He's a right-handed pitcher. They call him the Darvish of Yokohama.
Yep.
So, and he kind of favors him physically and in the face a little bit. Of course, Darvish is much better looking, and he's got much better pitches. But I think this guy is gonna make an impact with the Bay Stars. And they were even talking about him as a possible opening day starter, which I wouldn't do that to him. I think he was a developmental squad player drafted in 2000.
Right.
I wouldn't do that to him, but get him out there early. And he's a big kid, and I'm looking for good things. I'm not so sure about the rest of the rotation, and I'm not so sure about the rest of the pitching staff. I don't know how they're going to get all these wins, but like you said, they have played below their abilities, so maybe they can improve that way. But I can't tell you how. I don't know where.
I just see the average talent is too low to make it to be any kind of a contender. They're enough that they can be dangerous, which they all have always been, but to win day in and day out consistently, to win when other people are trying to really hard to beat them.
Yeah.
That's going to be a tough task.
It could happen.
It'd be great help. Health is good luck.
Yeah, I do see a talent deficiency there, but, you know, maybe the new attitude and everybody pushing that old car in the same direction can actually help them get to more victories. So what's your prediction for league? I'm going to pick them, reluctantly, I'm going to pick them to finish fifth, not in last place. I'm going to say that they're going to get out of last place.
I'm going to pick them fifth also.
It's be nice to the Bay Stars Day.
I'm not confident of it. I just would like to see him get out of fifth.
I would love to see him the same thing. All right, let's move along to the Carp, and you're going to be talking about the Carp. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, the Carp are the Bay Stars. If the Bay Stars are the Carp light.
I like that.
The Carp, in the terms of they have
light hitting,
I have the same amount of proven talent. They don't have the same amount of anything, but the Carp really aren't that much different from the Bay Stars.
All right, big additions.
The big addition to the Carp are, let's see, Cam Micololio.
Okay.
Who is a pitcher. Yeah, I don't know why they're, I really cannot see what the thing is with him, because he's a guy who strikes out a lot of batters, but he doesn't have good ERAs. So, you know, I mean, consistently.
Right.
Normally guys who do things like, you know, they strike out, have a lot of strikeouts, and they don't walk guys. You know, they tend to have low ERAs. He has all the periphery stats of a guy who would have a low ERA, but he never does.
Okay, who else?
Nick, another guy. I'm going to struggle with these guys' names all year.
Yeah, they get the guys' names who are hardest, you know, to figure out.
Nicolio and Nick Stavanoa.
Stavanoa, that sounds good to me.
We
will know if you.
This is a 29-year-old guy who played a lot in the majors. He hit 28 homers in Memphis last year. He's a guy who's going to have some power. I don't really know what else he's going to bring. So we've got that. We've got Brian Bullington coming back this year. We've got the infielder Braden.
Brian Braden, yeah.
Brian Braid. Okay, I don't really see the Carp big addition is going to be from the young kids, a couple of young sweaters who have been they've been nurturing for the last 3-4 years on the farm team. And I think a good sign for the Carp was the trade yesterday of Shigenobu Shima.
Uh-huh.
Not that I don't like Shigenobu Shima. I think he's a great guy. I love him. He's a real pleasure to be with, and I think he's a real interesting guy. But he's sort of their right hand, you know, their left-handed bench hitter,
mm-hmm.
Backup, you know, fifth outfielder, fifth first baseman, I don't know, whatever.
Doesn't really get a lot of playing time, plays against guys he hits well against, and that's about.
Yeah, he's a big heavy guy, and you know he won a batting championship, his first real exposure to Central League pitching, when he was 27 years old. Anyway, so the point being that they traded him, meaning they're going to give his. They're not going to have him as a backup, meaning they're going to give somebody some more playing time somewhere, and I bet it's going to be one of these young hitters they've got.
Okay, what about Yusuke Nomura, the pitcher? He's been doing well in the spring. He's a rookie. He's a rookie. He's been having a good spring. They think he's going to be able to crack the rotation, and that should help them. I mean, the guys I have in the rotation are, you know, of course, Kenta Maeda. I have Brian Bullington. I have Yuya Fukui. They're Yuki Saito, their version of Yuki Saito, Junpei Shinoda. And then it's up for grabs. It could be Kang Otake. It could be Yusuke Nomura. So, I mean, he might get his chance.
What's a rotation that could be pretty good?
Yeah, they're going to have a decent rotation. But remember, this is a team that last year set the Central League record for consecutive score, or, you know, innings, but failing to score a run. With 50 consecutive innings, they failed to get a run. And I don't see where they're going to get better scoring. I don't see where they're going to have better defense. I don't see where they're going to have – they've added more power.
The power will have to – can come from the kids, but it's not going to be overwhelming. They'll have more power probably because Kurihara won't have two home runs in the first three months of the season. Realistically, will they – I think they will continue to be the worst offensive team in the Central League.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have a lot of pop. I don't think, you know, I'm looking at a playoff spot being about 71, 73 wins, and I don't see the Carp getting more than 65 unless they find some added power. And that's been a bugaboo for that team for a long time. I mean, I contend that one of the reasons I will take this to my grave, Jim Allen, that they don't hit home runs in that park because they just don't hit home runs anywhere. But
you're preaching to the choir, Ben.
Okay, all right. This is a team that's averaged 62.5 wins the past 5 years, and I don't see where they're going to be able to get, you know, 10, 12 more wins to get into the playoffs. But, you know, they do have a good pitching staff, and
they do have that. They have the team speed.
Yes,
you know, they're the fastest team in the Central League.
Slap and go.
So they have the defense is adequate.
Mm-hmm.
The catching is an issue in terms of defensive quality, but the pitching staff has a chance to be excellent. At least the starting pitching has a chance to be excellent.
Yes.
I think the bullpen's a disaster waiting to happen.
Until you get to Sarfate. If they get to him, then the game's in good hands. Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
But having seven, having, you know, one ace and one second guy and a bunch of number five starters doesn't help you get to the ninth inning.
Well,
you know, if you've got eight number five starters, it's not going to help you get to the eighth inning.
Well, I think Bullington and Maeda are, you know, going to put up similar numbers. Probably Maeda is going to be better. Bullington's a good number two. And then after that, we don't know. I mean, Fukui could get better. He could have a second year, the quote-unquote second year jinx. We don't know. Yuki Saito's been injured. Otake's been injured. Shinoda's been up and down. He was mostly down in the second half of last season. And Nomura's a rookie. So, yeah. Prediction?
I'm gonna pick them tied for fifth with the Bay Stars.
Tied for fifth with the Bay Stars. I'm gonna go ahead and say fourth. Again, reluctantly, I could see this team easily being in last place.
Okay.
But I can't pick more than one team for last place.
This year you can. I think we could have five teams tied for fifth, tied for second.
All right, next up, the two Nichi Dragons, their big additions, Kenshin Kawakami making his return, coming back from a miserable Major League experience. Takeshi Yamasaki, the 40-something infielder, who's actually having a pretty decent spring, but, you know, I don't count spring for anything, so that doesn't mean anything. Victor Diaz, and then first pick in the draft, Shuta Takahashi, has also been having a good spring. He's a rookie, though. I don't see him making the club out of the shoot because I think they want to get him some at-bats, but he's been doing pretty well in the spring. And then Jorge Sosa, pitcher. So their big departures, Chen Weiying, the Tin Man, gone. But Kawakami could probably make up for his departures. I don't think that's a big deal, in my opinion. But one of the biggest deals that probably won't be made that much of is the loss of Keiji Oyama, the backup catcher that they had, who I really like.
Yeah, we love.
I love him. I didn't know that you loved him.
I do.
I love this guy. He hits the ball hard.
They got him as a tryout player. He was released.
Wow. Well, he hits the ball hard. He went to the Eagles, so that's a great pickup for the Eagles because they need somebody who can hit in that position. If he gets his chance, I don't think they'll be able to take him out because he really does produce with the bat. Then they lost Masaaki Koike, who we mentioned. Yeah, Koike, who we mentioned, went to the Bay Stars. So I said that this team, you know, in the last episode, I believe I mentioned that this team is getting pretty old. But let's look at the numbers. Tanishige is 41. Hirokazu Ibata is 36. Masahiro Araki is 34. Masahiko Morino is 33. Takeshi Yamasaki is 43. Masahiro Yamamoto is 46, the pitcher, and you put all those guys on the infield at the same time. You got more than two centuries of experience on the infield, but yikes, who's going to catch them all? Wheelchairs, crutches, and priority seats have to be on the bench.
Yeah, they're going to have to. I think the other Central League teams are going to start changing their ground rules not to allow walkers.
More walkers. White canes, back away. Anyway, I don't know. I still think they have a really good rotation. They've got Kazuki Yoshimi. They've got Maximo Nelson. Kawakami's going to find his niche. I don't know if Yelbert Soto is back from his injury or not, but I haven't noticed. I haven't paid attention enough to see if he's been pitching this spring. Then they've got Daisuke Yamai, and then Sosa, and then Yudai Kawai is still around.
He has changed his name this year.
He changed it again?
He's Yudai now. This year he's Yudai.
Oh, he was Yudai. That's what I have.
Oh, but he's no longer...
That was before he changed it.
He lost his last name.
Oh, it's not Kawai.
It's not Kawai anymore. He's just Yudai.
Just Yudai.
That's right.
That's what he's saying to all the batters he faces. Yudai!
Oh, man.
That is so bad.
You're going to get it for that one.
Well, I don't know. I didn't realize this team was so old.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Because they played so well last year.
And, well, the thing about the Dragons are an interesting team because not all of it, they're both very old and very young because they have a lot, their outfield is really young.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign. They have some interesting players. They have, I like all the guys. Oh, how's the Araki Ibata? They're going to switch back this year.
They are switched back, so Ibata will be playing short, and Araki will be playing second.
Well, I'm guessing...
That's 70 years in the middle infield.
John, it sounds like a Gabriel Garcia Marquez book, 200 years around the Dragons infield.
Or 20,000 leagues under the sea.
You love the experience. You love the intelligence. Takagi's a defense-first manager. I think that's going to help him. It's going to help him keep more or less in tune with what Ochai is doing. I guess, of course, the old man in the sea, of course, is Kazuhiro Wada in left field. His first bad season with the Dragons, his first bad season in about 5 years. See how he bounces back is going to be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Moreno had a bad season. Tony Blanco had a very disappointing season.
He had a very disappointing first half and a decent.
Oh, yeah, he was the player. Yeah, he was the player of the year in the last 2 months, last 6 weeks of the season. So. Things can be, the Dragons is going to be interesting. You know, they could finish anywhere from second to sixth.
I agree. I don't know how this new manager situation is going to affect the players and how, you know, what their effort's going to be, but we'll have to see. I got them finishing in second place, though.
I'm going to go with third.
Third, okay. This predicting stuff is so difficult. I mean,
I know it's a joke. It's a crap shoot, but,
yeah.
I don't know about the shoot end of that, but
if somebody told us everyone who's going to be injured and how many games they're going to be missing and how the rookies were going to affect,
still wouldn't matter.
We'd come closer.
Yeah,
we'd come closer. All right. Well,
I wouldn't pick them to six. I'm gonna go fourth for the Dragons.
All right.
Did I just say fourth? I hope.
Yeah, you said fourth.
Okay.
All right. The Omiri Giants, their big additions this year. Good grief, what a gaudy list this is. DJ Holton, Toshiya Sugiuchi, Shuichi Murata, Scott Matheson, I'm not sure about, John Boker, and Yoshihito Ito, Seibu, also came over. That's
Yoshito Ishii.
I'm sorry. Well, I keep messing up his last name. Ishii, because I keep thinking he can't be the pitcher. He can't be the pitcher.
Okay.
Their big departures, Alex Ramirez, Seth Greisinger, Michael Nakamura, Kazuhari Tsuruoka, who went back to the DeNA Yokohama Bay Stars. And Michael Nakamura went to the Sabre
Lions.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they're the prohibitive favorites. I think everybody looks at that list of guys who they picked up, and they're thinking, oh, boy, this is not going to be close. But I remind you that last year when the Hawks were – you know, the favorites in the Pacific League, that the Fighters gave them a run up until about, the end of July.
Right.
So
later, August, it was still close, I think. It was still close.
Right after July, right after the All-Star break, actually, they had the big matchups down there in Fukuoka, and they got swept. And then after that, they got swept almost at home in Hokkaido, so they kind of fell out of the race then. But
how big of a loss is Ramirez?
Well, I mean, defensively, I think they're going to get better because because they picked up Murata, I think offensively they're going to be able to replace that production. So how big a loss? I don't think they're going to feel it in that respect. It just depends on the guys they put out there in those positions. So I don't think Murata is a great third baseman defensively, but he's not going to kill him.
He's adequate.
And I don't know.
Well, they've had good. On the other hand, they've essentially been using second baseman. You know, they've been using middle infielders to play third base, so that's not going to be an improvement.
But the thing that they can do is they can bring Michihiro Ogasawara over to first base, which
sure.
I think is his best position.
Right.
Then they can stop putting guys like Kamei out there at first base, and he can play the outfield. So he can play left field sometimes if Valker's not doing well or whatever. They can mix and match a little bit better and stay strong defensively, I think. So I don't think it's a big loss for them in that respect. But the guy, I mean, losing a guy with the knowledge and the presence and the ability of an Alex Ramirez who can get you big hits, who doesn't fade in the moment, you know, he gets stronger in the moment, in the big at-bats, the big pressure situations, he's used to them.
Well, I'm sorry, do you have more to say about
that? I don't think Murata is in that position. I don't think, and we just have to see how he reacts, but he's not been in a game that's, you know, been that valuable for the Bay Stars. So when he gets down and late in the season, which way is he going to go, up or down? That's what I want to see.
Well, I think the thing with the Ramichand is the big thing, what they're losing. I mean, yeah, the consistent offense is one thing, and he's less up and down than Murata. Murata, when he's healthy, is up and down, and he goes from really, really good to pretty ordinary. And Rami, of course, showed last year at his age that he can be fairly ordinary as well at times. And he's done that before.
Mm-hmm.
But what he does do, what he is consistently good at, is being a team leader.
Yep.
And this is something that is really, you know, it's really hard to put a number on, a figure on it, but there is some impact, I believe, in him being a team leader and keeping everybody loose and being a foreign player who is not afraid to come out and and be kind of silly when he needs to be silly, and knowledgeable when he needs to be knowledgeable. And, yeah, I'm sure he doesn't get it all right. You know, who does?
Yep.
But he's that consistent, you know, the Giants players have been able to depend, you know, I'm down or something, and Robbie Chung's going to come up and cheer me up because that's what he does.
Yep.
And they're going to, that is not going to be there. Now,
yep.
other things are going to, you know, everything else being said, when those kind of players leave, when big players leave, other guys step in to take, they step into the vacuum and show what they can do, and, you know, there could be somebody else who can do some of that job. I don't know.
It's true. Well, you know, at first glance, I think you look at the Giants and you say, okay, this rotation is going to be untouchable and this lineup is going to be hard to beat. But
sure.
Let me point out some weaknesses that the team or other teams are going to attack. The Giants are still slow and plodding. I don't think they have a lot of team speed throughout the lineup. The outfield defense is not great. It's not terrible, but it's not great. The arms are still about average as far as I've seen so far. You have to go to games and you have to see people before you can make that assumption, but let's just assume that they're average or a little bit better than average. I think it's still not going to, you know, make that difference in a lot of close games. The Giants have a rotation that you can plan. You can't plan on outscoring them all the time, but I'm not sure they've improved the offense that much. So I think teams are going to be able to say, hey, look, we've got to pitch well, first of all. But if we keep the game close, I think the back end of the bullpen
right.
of the Giants is still kind of a question mark. So I think they those are the areas that people are going to, or other teams might try to attack. Now, is that going to help them overcome the Giants in the Central League race? I don't think so.
No way.
But that's what they might look at as the weaknesses.
Well, there will be, yeah, of course, there will be games that the Giants will be less adept at winning, games where they do. They have, the Giants have always, since Hara became the manager, have made up for, well, since Hara became the manager, the Giants are faster than they have been any time in the last 30 years. But they're faster not because, first of all, they have more, I would say, looking at the last 20 years, they have more young players, young regulars than they ever have had. And the other thing is that Hara does a lot of really stupid things in terms of running game situations and getting matchups. He's horrible at that stuff. He's really bad. He's better than he used to be, but he's still pretty bad. But I don't think there's a Japanese manager right now who is as good at using his bench for effect. I think Ochiai was as good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Ochiai was really any better. Ochiai had a better command of other things in the game. I don't think game management was really Ochiai's strength either. But anyway, using the bench and putting the speed at the point of attack, Hara's really good at that. That's not an issue. He's going to have Fujimura, I guess, at second base, who's a fast guy and young and who can play defense, can't hit a lick. So I think there's going to be that core. The defense is going to be B- to C+. The offense is not an upgrade, but the pitching is a major upgrade, provided most of these guys are as healthy.
Yep.
They're going to be really hard to beat. I mean, they're just going to be hard to beat most of the time.
Yeah, I got Tetsuya, Utsumi, I got Hirokazu, Sawamura, Toshiya, Sugiuchi, DJ, Holton, Diki, Gonzalez. Then we have Shun Tono and Ryosuke Miyaguni, the second pick in 2010.
They got Nishimura in there somewhere.
No, I think they're going to put it back in the bullpen where he belongs. But
well, I mean
he's
in the mix of where they're going to. I mean, these are guys they can use.
Definitely. I mean, he'll get his starts, especially if Miyaguni, you know, doesn't pan out. So I got him finishing first, and that sounds like you do too.
Yeah, it'd be a big upset if they don't do that. If they do, they'll say, damn, we wish Rami were here.
That's definitely the case. All right, Swallows.
I'm going to pick, I'll skip that. I was going to go straight to the fun stuff.
Yeah, okay.
The Swallows,
big additions.
Well, the Swallows made one big addition who is a big question mark, and that's Lasting's millage.
Yes, Lasting's impressions.
Yeah. Okay, they got another guy. They got was Orlando Roman, who was kind of interesting. He was a very successful reliever in Mexico a couple of years ago. And then he went to Taiwan, where he was a very successful starter. Don't really know what to make of him other than he's been successful. So will he continue to be successful? It's possible. This isn't Mexico. This isn't Taiwan. But, yeah, it's possible. When somebody's as good, he wasn't towering over the competition, so that's kind of a question. He could be good. You know, he could be an extra pitcher, which they can use. The Swallows, however, anyway, go back to Lastings Milich, who has a chance to be really good.
I hope he's a guy, can keep it straight. Yeah, I hope he can.
Yeah, he's a guy who's basically disappointed or annoyed enough people that he can't stay with one team.
He's going to turn 27 on April 5th, so he's still pretty young.
He's a guy who was a major league regular when he was 21 years old, I think.
That just oozes, you know, talent level high.
Yeah, if you can play that, I mean, this is a guy who could play in the major leagues when he was 21, 22 years old.
With some success.
Yeah, but he did handle, he had a little, you know, he had Matt Merton's disease 3 years younger than Matt Merton had it. Matt Merton led the Chicago Cubs in batting average when he was 24 years old, and then they gave his job to somebody else, and he pouted for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, Milich had the same, more or less the same thing happen to him, and he had all these, he had on and off field issues. I understand. I have not met the gentleman yet, but the point is he had a world of talent. Now the question is how much of it he's going to bring to bear. He could bring a lot. It might be a lot to think he's going to be a star in Japan straight off the bat because of all those loose ends.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if he gets his, you know, it's a question of how fast can a man change? How fast can, you know, he doesn't strike, his track record wouldn't strike you of a person being a fast, making fast emotional adjustments and turning, you know, but who knows, 27, he just may wake up one day and feel like this is my time to be, you know, be the person I wanted to be when I was 20 years old. I don't know. So.
Well, maybe when he wakes up one day and realizes, you know, that he's in Japan and that, you know, it is possible to get back to the major leagues from here,
right.
That he'll do what it takes to make the right impression so that he can get back over there and play, you know, where he thinks he belongs. If he thinks he belongs there. I mean, who am I to say where he belongs? But, I mean,
the Swallows, he's got a lot of talent. The Swallows, the big loss is obviously Norichika Oki. He's a great talent, not because he has tremendous numbers at Jingu Stadium, but because of all the – he can do a lot of things. He can play center field. He can give you adequate defense in center field. He runs well. He runs the bases pretty well for a guy whose rest of his game is not that cerebral, to be honest. He's basically a hacker. He's basically a hacker and can be a lackadaisical outfielder, but he was a big talent. He could hack, but he could really hack.
Yeah.
He could really hit the ball. You throw it in the strike zone and he could hit it. So he did get his walks, but he wasn't a good base stealer. He wasn't a good was a good base stealer, but that his speed, his base stealing, his interest in base stealing evaporated. His interest in playing the best defense in the world evaporated. Basically, he just got hits. He tried to become Ichiro.
All right. Well, who's going to take over his spot now?
Well, I don't know. Yuhei Takai, former pitcher. That's one of the candidates, so laugh if you like. So that's sad.
Yeah.
I
won't laugh too much.
Well, on the other hand, what I really like about the Swallows is the manager, who is Mr. Ogawa, and who is as level ahead as they come. He's very much a player, a manager like Hara, except he seems to know what he's doing in game situations.
This team, I mean, he helped, he's been winning ever since he took over, but this team led the Central League last year in runs, and they had the third highest team batting average. So, I mean, this team can score runs. It's just been a matter of the pitching staff being healthy and staying together. Tateyama was injured. Hey, he's coming off of finger surgery, this blood flow problem that he had last year. Yoshinori Sato, always out injured, often out injured, I should say. Kyohei Muranaka, often out injured.
Yeah. Well, that's the big question mark with the Swallows is the pitching staff. They are essentially Hiroshima Part Two. They could be devastatingly good.
Mm-hmm.
You don't expect them to be, but they could be, and they're going to be better than average. Ogawa's management is let things work, find solutions when they don't. Ogawa is a very low key, low pressure person who gets, he gives people chances, and he's not the best thing for me about him is he has no fear of doing something unorthodox. So he's going to give people chances to succeed in ways that we probably can't imagine right now. Lastings Millage, who knows? They could have Lastings Millage and Coco in right field, and those guys between them, they could be the two best foreign hitters in Japan this year. I mean, you don't know you don't know that they are.
I could easily see it though. I could buy in for that.
I could see it happening. If they do, a lot of things have to go right, but I think I have a lot of belief in Ogawa's ability to sort of find solutions. The Swallows do have a lot of young fat. Their team speed has been good. Losing Aoki is not going to be a big minus to that. It is going to be a hole in the offense, but it's got guys who really want to play. This is the thing about the Swallows. They got a bunch of guys who really play hard. We saw that in the playoffs. Everybody was hurt. It's like these guys were, they were on the insurance line or something.
Yeah.
Everybody was hurt, and they came out to play, and they came within a whisker playing in the Japan Series. I think, they're going to surprise some people because Ogawa, in one respect, reminds me of Hisanobu Watanabe, the Lions, is that when things don't go well, somebody's hurt, okay. Who's playing the hardest? Who has the most ability at this level right now? Let's just get them up here and let them play. And don't ball them out when they don't do what you hope they're going to do. So
he's been good.
I'm thinking the Swallows. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Before we get to my prediction.
No, go ahead. That's what I was going to ask you. So where are you looking at them to
finish second?
Second. All right. I'm looking at them to finish third, but I withhold the option to renege on that at any time during the season, and shift my prediction as I did last year. So, yeah, I got them finishing third, but and only because I'm not sure that they're going to get that offensive production again like they got last year, but we'll have to see. Now, the Tigers, the Hanshin Tigers, the last team in the Central League that we're going to talk about today. Before wrapping up, the big addition, they drafted a bunch of young guys, so I guess all the rookies.
Yeah. They had a young team. The Tigers are a cocoon. It's kind of like the movie Cocoon.
What, they're going to have all these old guys crawl out of these cocoons as fresh young players again? I don't think so.
No.
They're going to have young players crawl out of these cocoons.
Right.
And hope that they can
just
act like
the old guys are going to they're shedding the old guys pretty quickly.
Slowly but surely, yeah.
And I have high hopes for the manager. Just because I like his style, it doesn't mean anything. He has I like him personally, so I'm probably biased by that, unlike other professional journalists who are never biased by their emotions.
Never
happened. I even seated at the same table with you at the party. Never happened.
Okay.
Let
me get to the biggest departures real
quick. I'm sorry.
I've got Tsuyoshi Shimoyanagi.
Yeah.
And Keiji Uezono, a pitcher. And that's all really I could find. Now, go ahead.
The questions, what are the questions for the Tigers, Joe Jamon?
Yeah, there is a question for our Tigers. In fact, I have a question from Claudio in Toronto.
Claudio!
Let me read it here. Let's play our music. I love that sound. Thanks again, Simon. Claudio writes, what would you do with Kenji Jojima? He's coming back from injury. Apparently he's healthy, but because of the injury, so he's not healthy. He can't crouch comfortably behind the plate, so he can't play as catcher. Now, CL doesn't have a DH, so he needs to learn a different position if he wants to play. They're trying him on at first, but even if he succeeds, what will they do with Craig Brazell? They had him in the outfield the other day, so... On the other hand, all the catchers Hanshin has aren't too good offensively, so moving Jojima to first might affect the offensive power they have, both on first and behind the plate. It looks like they don't have a place to put him, and getting to learn first base now doesn't seem too good to me. Is trading him a possibility? Yeah, okay. 30-plus catcher, broken up, bad shoulder, bad knees, for sale, best offer. I don't think anybody's going to take him.
Yeah, that's right. Reminds me of one when I was in college, an ad in the local paper in the classifieds. What was it? Retired 70-year-old unemployed paraplegic colored man seeking white love goddess.
Or best offer. I can see him maybe going to the Pacific League and being a DH, but I mean, again, if his knees are both bad, he's not going to be able to run that. Although you don't worry too much about the running if he's just DHing. I don't know.
I think you give him a few starts, use him as a pinch hitter. You put him in first base sometimes. You give Craig Brazell a day off sometimes. You can use him as DH during the interleague. You let him get healthy because
let him get healthy.
He couldn't hardly play last year. You're not losing anything by not having Joe Girardi. He was useless last year. Komiyama can hit one of their backup catchers. I like him. I don't know about his defense. I can't say. I don't recall ever seeing him. But he can hit a little bit. The Tigers have some young talent, but Jojima is just, to me, he's just a distraction. He's really not part of the equation.
Yeah. I think we're looking at pretty much near the end of Jojima's career. But, you know, he could resurrect it by going somewhere place and being a contributor as a DH, but that's not the role that I think he wants. And if pride gets in the way, which Jojima usually does, I don't see him playing anymore. But that's me.
Right. I think that's very likely. I don't see him as really a very – he's not a first-rate hitter. He's not a middle-of-the-order guy anymore. As a DH, he's not very valuable, to be honest.
Nope.
As a catcher, he's not all that valuable.
Can't throw.
I don't see him as being a big player. He's a step ahead of Shige Nobushima, but at the price tag, nobody's going to want him.
Yeah. I don't know about this group putting together 60 or 65 wins. I don't see the offense. If things go right, you know, they get the pitching. I expect the pitching to be fairly good, but in fact, here's another case of a team that has good pitching that could be dominant. I mean, Yuya Ando looks like he's healthy again. He's going to come back.
Right.
Jason Standridge, Randy Messenger were great last year. Atsushi Nomi is a good pitcher.
Sure.
There's one rookie. I think Ito is going to come up, and he's probably going to get a chance. So it could be good.
They've got a very good bullpen still.
Still.
The closer, Fujikawa, I don't know how much gas he's got left in his tank.
He and Iwase are racing.
Yeah, racing downhill with no fuel in the tank, maybe.
But the wind's blowing behind them.
Okay. But, you know, they have young arms. They have some big foreign players. They've got a lot of smarts on that team. They have a couple of guys who are still Takahiro Arai is not a good third baseman, but he is a good hitter. He's a smart hitter. He's become a really smart hitter. Torii Tani is one of my favorite players, as you know.
I do.
Those two, Craig Brazell is a pretty good hitter.
Love Brazmataz.
And Merton is the smartest guy and is a harder working and as somebody who applies his skills as well as anybody I know. Kanemoto has some possibilities. They've got these young guys who could come up. Like I said, I like Komiyama, the backup catcher. This is a team that could easily, I think they're more likely bet to finish second than the Swallows are, but I'm going to pick them fourth.
Well, you know, I like Kanemoto. I think he's going to be healthier than he was last year, but now he's a year older. He's a little bit slower. He's still not going to throw well. How much are you going to play him? When's he going to get hurt again? I don't like it. I don't like their offense. I don't like their I don't think I'm going to like their lineup. I think they're going to be in games because they pitch well. And you know, these games between the Carp and the Tigers could be, you know, three nights of maybe a total of four runs. You know, they could play games like this, I think.
Well, I think...
Not because they're pitching well.
I think, you know, the biggest... You know, I think the issue with Jojima is not that Jojima cannot crouch or he can't do this. It's that he is going to be a distraction.
Yeah, that's possible.
I think he is going to be a major distraction. What's going to happen with Jojima is going to be a distraction, and that's going to... I hope not, because I like too many of the Tigers. You know, the foreign players, there's too many Tigers I really like as individuals.
I like them, too, but I got to pick somebody to finish last, and if I'm going to take the Bay Stars to get out of last place, I got to put somebody else there.
Ooh.
And
well, it's certainly possible.
I mean, you know, it could be the Dragons. I don't think it's going to be. I think they're going to actually have better offense this year. But I don't. You know, the carp between the carp and the Tigers. I don't see a lot of offense there. So I'm picking. I mean, who knows? The Bay Stars could finish fourth.
This is a pretty emotional set of predictions by both of us. So I think in my heart of hearts, I would pick the Bay Stars last.
if I was betting and someone said, you know, something money related or something even more important to me relied on it, I probably would pick them to be last. But I don't want to pick them to be last, and I don't want to see them.
John, if you could never wear purple, if you lose this bet, you could never wear purple again.
I told you I don't bet on sports before after the Hopkins episode where I told you I lost my marbles. I do not bet anymore. Nothing.
So I can confirm that John has no marbles.
All right. Well, so I am finishing last. You have him finishing fourth?
Also last. Tie for last.
Tie for last. All right. One more note, we kind of laughed at the fact that Norichika Aoki was not going to get a chance to play probably because Ryan Braun's suspension was lifted with the Milwaukee Brewers, but then Corey Hart got hurt. I apologize. Well, you laughed. I said we had a laugh. Anyway, Corey Hart, another outfielder for the Brewers, was also injured and might miss the opener, so Aoki might actually have a chance to show what he can do. So good luck, Norichika, over there and with the Brewers. A reminder, you can send us your comments or questions via MP3 file so we can play them on the show. If you have an IC recorder, you can record it that way. iPhones record MP3s as well, so you can do it that way. Any way you can. Send them to
Wire. Isn't he the guy who did the moving sidewalks?
I wear my sunglasses at night. I'm not familiar with moving sidewalks.
Okay. Okay.
Might be a different song. I just don't know it. Anyway, send the questions to yakyujohn@gmail.com. You can also go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there. Look for us on iTunes and subscribe. We got you through. I think it's going to be about an hour and 20 minutes, but thanks for listening to the entire show.
Thank you. We'll be talking to you next week, and hopefully you'll be talking to us.
Well, it'll be March 25th. Is the next show, so we'll break it down to Pacific League. That's right, 2 weeks. Thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy your baseball.
Bye-bye.